Proverbs chapter 17, the very famous verse 17 of Proverbs chapter 17. Tonight we continue our study on getting along with each other. And I'm going to take one word tonight, take the entire time just to teach on one word. I never have thought that to be a good Bible teacher you had to have 40 verses. Sometimes we do have 40 verses, sometimes we have one verse. Tonight we have one verse and one word of that verse. And I hope you'll listen to me very carefully. Turn me up just a tad, please. And I hope you'll listen very carefully. Proverbs chapter 17, and I'll start with verse 13 and read through verse 17, which is our verse tonight. Whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. The beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore leave all contention before it be meddled with. He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. Wherefore, is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. My text is verse 17, especially that first line, a friend loveth at all times. And tonight we'll take the entire lesson discussing that one word, friend. I hope you'll listen. I know this. I know you'll learn something. And it'll be mighty easy tonight. It's a casual kind of a night. It's a winter night. The crowd is down. But tonight I promise you this, that you'll learn something and you'll be helped. And if you're helped, then those that you know and love will be helped also. So I ask you to listen carefully as I teach on this one verse. The title of my lesson is A Friend Friend. A Friend Friend. Yes, you heard me right. A Friend Friend. I hope you'll listen, Father. Bless our studies tonight. And from it, make us better husbands, better wives, and better brothers, and better sisters, better sons, and better daughters, better mothers, better fathers, and yes, better friends. So may tonight be a night of growth and grace for each of us who is here. In Jesus' name, amen. And our Holy Father, we come to the book. Every word of the book is inspired. Every word of this book has been preserved for us. And every word is important. You said not one jot or one tittle should pass away till all be fulfilled. Certainly that's the case of one word. And so tonight I pray your blessing upon us as we think of this one word, friend. In Jesus' name, amen. So straight, look right this way. And let me teach you tonight something that I think will help you. I've been teaching for these several Wednesday nights on getting along with each other. I think it's a shame how poorly we get along with each other inside the walls of our houses. I think it's a shame how poorly that children get along with their brothers and sisters. The more I live and the more I preach, I want to emphasize the fact that you boys and girls who are saved, the Holy Spirit lives in you. You're God's child. The Bible written you like it's written to everybody else. Well, you know how children are. Yes, and I also know how Christian children should be. Well, you know how teenagers are. You know how brothers and sisters are. Yes, I know how they are. But I also know how they could be if they do what the Bible says. Now, tonight, all these lessons I'm giving to try to help you to get along with people. I'm talking about husbands and wives getting along with each other. I'm talking about parents and children getting along with each other. It's a disgrace the way the average teenager treats his mom and dad. I'm not talking about those outside this room. I'm talking about those inside this room. It also is a disgrace how some of the teenagers treat their Sunday school teachers like pagans. Somebody ought to grab a hold of some of you young people and teach you a thing or two. It wouldn't hurt if you turn that box off at home and do it at home and teach your boys and girls how to respect authority and respect people who live longer than they have. Now, tonight I'm going to teach on getting along with our different relationships. Now, you'll learn something, so listen carefully. I want to teach you the word friend. Go on. Friend is not a title. Mother is a title. Father is a title. Brother is a title. Sister is a title. Son is a title. Daughter is a title. But the word friend is not a title. Then what is the word friend? The word a friend is what if folks who have titles get along with each other, their relationship is held together by martyr, which is called friendship. For example, the husband and wife who are not friends will not have a happy marriage, and the brothers and sisters who are not friends will not have a happy relationship. And so friendship or friend is the mortar that holds together all other relationships. I'll come to that after a while. I said in the first place, the word friend is not a title. Now, I'm going to shock you. Listen carefully. The word friend is not a noun. The word friend, listen now, is not a noun. Of course, it's not a proper noun, but it's not a noun. Now, in our dictionary, you'll find the little N beside the word friend, stating that it is a noun. But in the Bible, get this now, in the Bible, originally, the word friend was an adjective, which described, an adjective is that which modifies a noun, and there are other things than that, but mainly adjectives describe a noun. She is a sweet person. Person is the noun, and sweet is the adjective. He is a nice guy. Guy is the noun, and nice is the adjective. Now, originally, get me now, originally the word friend was an adjective. It was that which described a noun. For example, like a loving husband. Now, originally, you'd say likewise a friend husband. Friend being the adjective. Are you listening? Friend being the adjective that describes the noun husband. So friend originally was not even a noun at all. It was not a title. It was not a noun at all. It was a word that described any relationship that was what it ought to be. For example, he is a thoughtful son. All right? Son is the noun, and thoughtful is the adjective describing the son. Now, originally, the word friend was like this. He is a friend son, which means he was a certain kind of a son. No, I don't mean friend dash son. I mean friend as an adjective describing the word son. Now, for example, it is wrong to say, now I don't mean wrong, I don't mean sinful, and it's evolved into our age, but it was wrong then to say something like a loyal friend. That's redundancy. A friend, that's two adjectives together back in those days. A loyal friend, that's like saying he is a loving, thoughtful. Those are two adjectives, you see. A loving, thoughtful. Saying he is a loving friend is like saying he is a loving, thoughtful, because friend originally was an adjective. For example, it's like saying she is a gracious big. I don't know who that is, but I should have said he is a gracious big, because those you're big right now are not very gracious. But she is a gracious big. Now, no, I didn't say gracious big. I said a gracious big. She is a gracious big. Now, that's poor grammar, because you've got two adjectives and there's no noun. A gracious big what, you see. So to say that somebody is a loving friend or a good friend, no, the word friend is the adjective also, which describes the relationship. So here's what is right. He is a friend husband. Now, but I'm talking about dash, friend dash husband. No, he is a friend husband. I could say he is a good husband, loyal husband, friend husband, kind husband. He is a friend husband. The word friend describing the word husband. Now, originally, there was no such thing. Nobody ever used to say in Bible days, he is a good friend. Or a fine friend. No, friend was the adjective to describe whatever he was. For example, she is a friend wife. The adjective friend describing the noun wife. He is a friend son. So you can be a wife without being a friend. But the word friend, an adjective describing the word friend wife or friend husband or friend son, or she is a friend daughter, if you please, or he is a friend brother, or she is a friend sister, or she is a friend mother, or she is a friend father. Now, that's the same type statement of sentence as saying she is a loving mother. She is a, those word loving and friend are not synonymous, though loving is in the word friend, but I'm talking about sentence structure. The word friend was never intended originally to be a noun. It was that which described the proper kind of relationship, which means that you're not a good husband unless you're a friend husband. You're not a good wife unless you're a friend wife. You're not a good daughter unless you're a friend daughter. You're not a good son unless you're a friend son. I'm not a good pastor unless I'm a friend pastor. You're not a good mother unless you are a friend mother. You're not a good father unless you are a friend father. So what God is saying, what the Bible is saying here, and what the word friend originally was, and you can check this yourself and find it, but what it originally was, an adjective that described, an adjective that gave the ultimate in a good description of a relationship. You could say she's a loving wife, but if she's a friend wife, that's the top wife. He's a good husband, but if he is a friend husband, that means he's the top husband. Now then, so friend, get this now, follow me carefully, friend is a adjective, a descriptive word, and it describes a noun. Now, I want to show you something. Originally, the word was an adjective. It was a descriptive word to describe the noun. Gradually, it became a noun. We say, he's a good friend. The word friend is a noun. This is English 131, in case you don't know it. But you need it, obviously. But he is a faithful friend. We call a friend the noun. But there was a transition period when friend gradually became a noun from being an adjective. So here's the adjective where it described relationship, and then it gradually became a noun over here. There was a time when it was both, and the term friend. See, the term friend became so light. You know, when Judas came to betray the Savior, Jesus said, friend. Now, for example, we write letters to folks we don't even know, maybe, and say, dear friend. Well, that's a cheap way to use the word friend, but it became that way. So, originally, the word friend meant the top thing in a relationship that holds it together. Then friendship became so loose and so trivial and became a noun, so they said a friend. So consequently, the word friend, adjective describing friend, noun. Now, let me give you an example. In the Bible, Lazarus was a friend brother to his sister. He was called their friend at his grave. The bridegroom in the Song of Solomon was a friend husband. Now listen carefully. The bride said, my lover and my friend. Now you listen carefully to me. Your best friend, no. Your wife ought to have you as your best friend. You ought to be your wife's best friend. And that's so strong with you. If some of you folks would ever become friends, you'd get along with each other. You could cancel your trip to the lawyer and cancel your divorce. Your problem is, you may be physical lovers, you may be sharers of the same house and live in the same house, but you are not ever going to have the ultimate in a marriage until you are friends, and you can be called a friend husband or a friend. Ask the question, are you a friend husband? Oh, you say, well, I wish my wife were a friend. I'm not talking about your wife. I'm talking about you, Buster. Are you a friend husband? Well, I would be if she would be. If you would be if she would be, then you're not her friend, because a friend loveth at all times. Now, listen to me carefully. Are you a friend husband? Now, I'm going to come back to you after a while. But so the bridegroom in Song of Solomon is called by his bride her friend. the most trusted government position. Let me paraphrase that. The most trusted government official to the king was called his friend senator. If he was a deputy, his friend deputy. But the most trusted official under a king had the adjective friend attached to him. Friend deputy, friend senator, friend congressman, friend chief executive. It was again an adjective. Now, as I said a while ago, when the word evolved into being a noun, it was for a while both adjective and noun, and tonight we have cheapened the word friend so much, so I have to put the adjective in front of it to explain what the word friend is all about. It's such a, well, we're friends. Now, that's not the kind of thing the Bible is talking about. So, in order for me, if I said, are you his friend? Yeah, we're friends. No, so I put the real adjective in front, but are you a friend? Are you a friend? My wife has a friend husband. The best friend she has is the fellow you're looking at right now. And the best friend I have is the lady sitting behind me in the choir and Mrs. House is the best friend that I have. And that's the way it ought to be. Now, I'm not talking about the one you like the most. That's not it. I'm talking about a friend, lover, at all times. That means that you're her friend when she's crappy. That means you're her friend when she's up and you're her friend when she's down. Her friend. Now, a lot of you are friends, have friends, but are friends to people, but you're not friends. You have not added the adjective to the noun to strengthen, underline, and capitalize what the word friend was all about. My sister has a friend brother. She knows that. I'm her friend. I'm not just her brother. I'm her friend brother. My Cindy Scott has a friend dad. No doubt about it. I'm not just a dad. I'm a friend dad. Brother Johnny Colson has a friend. I said, well, we're friends. No, I'm his friend. I'm his noun and adjective. One of the things that irritates me the most is the deterioration and the cheapening of that word friend. So I'm simply saying tonight, are you a friend? Ask a question. Make a statement. Becoming a friend is a choice. You decide when you're going to become a friend. Are you listening to me? You decide when you're going to become a friend. Now, that means that you can become a friend to anybody you want to become a friend to, and you will decide when to do it. Now, why don't you dads tonight decide that you are become not just a dad, but a friend dad? And I don't mean somebody takes the ball bowling or somebody takes the boy playing golf or somebody takes it. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about a deep, abiding resolution that in thick or in thin, in good or in bad, in victory or defeat, I am his and he can depend on me. Now, that's what you call a friend, a friend dad, if you please. Some of you all decide tonight to be a friend mom. Oh, I'm not talking about taking your daughter shopping. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you need to decide tonight that your daughter has one person she can depend on. It doesn't matter what happens, through thick or thin, she can depend on you. And our relationships are so shallow. For example, the average family here doesn't even eat together. That's why you got restaurants that are lined up down all the main streets. Fast food place, everywhere you go. The average family doesn't even eat together. It's a home is a union station where we come and meet and cross and change trains or change planes at the airport. It's time that you dads became the best friend, the friend to your children, and you mom became the friend to your children, and the husband became the friend husband, and the wife becomes the friend wife, and brothers and sisters should be friend brothers and friend sisters. It's pitiful. Parents, listen, parents come to my office And they say to me, Brother Hiles, we can't control our children. In the first place, you ought to be caught and taken ashamed of yourself. What do you mean? A guy walked in, weighed 260 pounds, 6'5", looked like he was a tight end for the Chicago Bears. His wife looked like she was a defensive tackle. And they came in to my office, and there was a little girl, about 11 years old, weighed about 90 pounds, and the 260-pound husband and the 300-pound wife said, we cannot control this child. Well, bless God, I could control that child, and you could too if you convince that child that you're his friend, his friend mother, his friend father. You see, children don't want to lose a friend mother. And when you become a friend mother or a friend father, adjective and noun, a friend mother, friend father, that child does not want to lose that sweet relationship that that child has with mom and dad. And the worst punishment a child ought to get is when you spank that child, it'll hurt the child more because dad and mom, or dad or mother is not close to me right now, and we do not have that relationship that we ought to have, and that is what makes a child behave and a child get to be controlled with the parents. Why don't you decide, fellow, to be a friend husband? If you decided, I'm talking about adjective now, not friend-husband, I'm talking about friend-husband, like it, the word friend-husband would include good husband, kind husband, thoughtful husband, faithful husband, loving husband, all wrapped up in one big word, it'd be friend-husband. Now, you fussed enough, listen to me, you fussed enough in your homes. You husbands and wives have fussed enough with each other. I do not understand how you can come to church here Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, hear teaching like this, and go home and not get along with each other. Now you listen to me. It's time that somebody here became Christians. I've said it before. If either one of the couple ever got totally right with God, it would solve 95% of your marital problems. It's time that some of you boys became friend sons. My mother reared me from the time I was a little boy, the time I was graduating from high school. Mother and I lived alone together. She reared me. We're friends. She was a friend mother. And I was a friend son. I'll tell you another thing, too. When I was 8, 9, 10 years old, somebody came trying to get me. I protected my mother. I guarded my mother. When my mother passed away, she had had all of my life a friend son. Open that stupid door to your bedroom, teenager, and throw those earphones or plugs away. And turn off that dumb radio or record player and get in there with your mom and dad and get a family life and become a son, a friend son, and a friend daughter. Oh, Brother Hiles, teenagers will be teenagers. That's a bunch of malarkey. Apart, get this now, apart from your mama's husband, you ought to be the best friend your mother has. You girls who left your room this morning looked like the Korean War was fought there last night. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I said you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I said you ought to be ashamed of yourself. The very idea of you leaving your place like a garbage dump so mama will take care. Why don't you get right with God and decide to be a friend daughter for a change? And you boys and girls don't get along with each other. Your children, your teenagers at home don't get along with each other. You need to decide, and you could be. Now let me say this. Friendship is not cause but the object. Being a friend is caused by the lover, by the giver. All right? I said, why don't you decide to become a friend son, a friend daughter, a friend brother, a friend sister, a friend teacher? If you teachers, you school teachers, get me now. If you would ever decide to become a friend teacher, it'd take care of 75% of the discipline and behavior problems you have in your class. It's an interesting thing. In college, when I was in college, nobody ever misbehaved Mr. Tyson's class. Mr. Tyson was our friend. He was a friend teacher. We knew that. Oh, brother. But in Mrs. Miller's class, it was like an election in the United States of America. Now, the whole thing is simply this. Are you going to live for yourself? Or are you going to live for somebody else? Well, you say for the house, I want to be happy in my life. You'll be happy in your life when you decide to become a friend, a friend husband. You say, well, brother, you mean my husband's supposed to kick me around? You're supposed to be a friend wife. Well, Brother Howes, he would, I would. I'm sorry, it's not a contract. I'm sorry. That's not it at all. If he want, you will. That's a friend loveth at all times. That means when the object is lovable and the object is not lovable. That means when the wife is submissive and when she's not submissive, the friend, the husband, loveth at all times. Well, a friend wife loveth at all times. She loveth when the husband is in a good mood, when he's in a bad mood, when he's easy to get along with, hard to get along with. See, what you want to do, you want to come up here and say, okay, let's start right here together. I'll be a friend if you'll be a friend. In the first place, if that's the way you decide to be a friend, you're not a friend at all. You cannot be a friend unless you are a friend when your friend is not your friend. This statement. You can be anybody's friend. I had a fellow write me. I wrote him. He was very critical of me and had done me some kind of an injustice. And I wrote him a letter and I said, I want you to know that I'm your friend. And I said, I'd like to wake these boys up here. Would you please? They need to hear what I'm saying also. These boys need to hear what I'm saying. One of these days, the children are going to grow up here, and they're not going to know what Brother Hiles just said. Now, I want you to know what I'm saying. I'm not trying, but it doesn't bother me if they take a nap, but it's going to bother them if they take a nap someday. I want you to listen to her now. This guy wrote me a letter, and he said, well, he said, we can't be friends because friendship is a two-way street. And I wrote back and said, no, it's not. No, it's not. Friendship is not a two-way street. Friendship is a decision that you make to give your allegiance to somebody, like Jonathan did to David, and David did to Jonathan, especially Jonathan to David. You can decide to be anybody's friend, and that friendship need not be returned. It's not a contract. It's not an agreement. It can be one way. Listen to Carrie. I am a friend to some people that hate my insides. But I'm their friend. I am a friend to people that would love to destroy me. Well, do you sit with the house? How can you keep on being a friend? You can't help but keep on being a friend. Because if friendship does not endure, it wasn't friendship. So, friendship can be a one-way street. Now listen carefully. How can you know if you are a friend? Proverbs 17:17 says it. A friend loveth at all times. Now that means a friend never quits loving. Never does. It means that it is lasting. Now, by the way, you say, well, I wish I had a friend. I wish I knew who my friends are. You might not want to know who your friends are. Because if you found out who your friends are, you'd find out who your enemies are. See, I doubt if there's a preacher that's ever lived that knows who his friends are like I do. But in order to discover who your friends are, you must discover who your friends aren't. Because it must be tested. And you, listen to me, you are a friend if in the test, you stand it and always will stand it. Now, I know who my friends are. I know them. Sometimes I wish I didn't, because when they revealed to me, when the testing time came, I found out those that I thought were or not. But I'm not concerned tonight about who my friends are. I'm concerned about people I love having a friend. 52 years ago, on my knees in the pine thickets of East Texas, fighting the first real battle of my ministry, I went in the pine thickets, got on my knees, got a 3x5 card out. You heard me tell this. I made God 5 promises that I'd live by. Number one, nobody will ever meddle with my preaching. I recall one night at deacon's meeting. A deacon on the back row, spent several years ago on the back row, and he's a good man. He wasn't my enemy. He said, you know, he said, our folks might have a little more security if you wouldn't be so hard in the pulpit. He said that deacon to me. I left the front, walked back where he was on the back row, grabbed him with the collar, and said, you just crossed the line, buddy. I made God a promise that nobody's going to meddle with my preaching. Nobody. Nobody. Second thing, I made God a promise that money would never be an issue, and I want to thank you for helping me make that come true. That money would never be an issue in my ministry. Third thing, I promised God I would make my decisions on what's right and wrong and not on expediency. The fourth thing, I promised God I'll be loyal to principles and not to institutions. And the last thing, I promised God I will be a friend to my friends. Hear me carefully. I will be a friend. What I meant was the original word, strong word, friend. But in order to make it plainer, I have to say, I promise God I would be a friend. Look at me and we'll go home. Answer me now, not out loud, but look at this way. Talking to every husband here, look at me. Are you a friend, husband? Are you irritable? Hard to get along with? Are you a friend, husband? Listen, right now, in this room, you can have your marriage transformed. Right now, right here, tonight, you can have your marriage transformed. If you will decide, I am going to be a friend, husband. Now, some of you wives right now saying, well, I hope my husband gets this. He won't, because God won't bless your kind of attitude. You need to be thinking about what kind of wife you are instead of what kind of husband he is. I ask the question, women, look at me. You have a married woman here. Are you a friend wife? Huh? Are you a friend wife? Are you easily provoked? Are you fussing all the time because he doesn't spend enough time with you? Are you always demanding your own rights? You can decide right tonight in this room. You can decide here and now. On this night, December 13, my mother's birthday, by the way, December 13, 2000 AD, I am becoming a friend wife. Please don't misunderstand this. You'd be amazed how little counseling you'll have to have after you do that. The average couple I counsel with, neither one of them is the other's friend. If either one was, they wouldn't have to be there. Are you listening? Child, are you a friend, child? A friend, son? A friend, daughter? You can decide tonight, here in this room, I'm going to be my mama's friend. Wake up. I'm going to be my mama's friend. I'm going to be my daddy's friend. They're no longer going to hear me complain, fight for my own rights. I'll no longer say, after a while, I'll obey when they ask me to do something. Now, listen, don't tell me how many souls you win on teenage soul winning if you're not a friend son or a friend daughter. I'm not concerned about that. The relationship of a son and daughter to his mother and father in the Bible is placed right in the middle of the worst sins in the Bible. You check the sin of being a queer, homosexuality, lesbianism, adultery, murder, right smack dab in the middle of those wicked sins. Are you children that they're not friends to mom and dad? Let me review, just briefly, and we'll go home. The word friend was originally an adjective. It was an adjective that described the different relationships, if they're what they ought to be. That word friend was like loving husband, good wife, friend wife. It was an adjective describing the noun. In the passing of time, it evolved into being a noun. And in that transition period, it was both an adjective and a noun. Hence came the term friend. That adjective friend, that quality, embodies all of the other good qualities put together. Faithfulness, loyalty, kindness, gentleness, love, grace, mercy, all of them wrapped in one circle is that adjective friend. Now, the honest, simple truth is, Johnny Coast and I, our friendship, end quote, as the world calls it, will not last unless I'm a friend. My sister and I will not have proper relationship, unless the mortar of me being a friend holds it together. I don't like people to say, I say, mother, father, son, daughter, husband, wife, friend. No. Friend is not a relationship, and friend originally was not a noun. It was the way to describe what kind, the ultimate in achievement in what you are in your relationship. Now, don't go home tonight and say to your husband, I will if you will. No, go home and say to dear God, I will if you want. He stuck with a friend. He is stuck with a friend. Illustrations are running wild in my mind tonight, but I'm not going to use any. I'm just going to say, I'm concerned about the way that nations can't get along with each other. I'm concerned about the murders in Chicago and the murders in Gary and all over in Hammond, all this area. I'm concerned about the divorce courts, but I am more concerned about God's people that don't get along with each other. Brothers, sisters, mothers, daughters, fathers and sons, and fathers and daughters, and husbands and wives. And the reason is plain old pure selfishness. You get the place. Look. I want that gal in front of section of the choir. I want her to have the best friend she can have. And I plan to give it to her. I want Cindy to have the best friend as a dad that she can have, and I plan to give it to her. What kind of friend are you? Friend or just friend? What kind of father are you? Friend, father, just a father. What kind of mother are you? Friend, mother, or just a mother? What kind of brother are you? Friend, brother, or just a brother? What kind of a sister are you? Friend, sister, or just a sister? Tonight, in this room, your entire life could have changed. I mean, your entire life. What do you say to the house? You mean I've got to give in all the time? You'd be surprised how much fun it is to give in. The reason I say be surprised, because you've never done it yet. You'd be surprised how much fun it is to let him have his way or her have her way. And tonight, right here tonight, listen to me, look at me. We'll be gone in 2 minutes. Look at me. I challenge you to pledge yourself to be a friend husband, a friend wife, a friend son, a friend daughter, a friend mother, a friend father, a friend brother, a friend sister. Would you bow your heads, please? Close your eyes. Husbands, how many of you would say tonight, whether I've done so before or not, tonight, December 13, 2018, I become a friend husband. Tonight, I become a friend, husband, father. I am, okay. If not, okay. But from this moment forward, my wife has a friend, husband. Raise your hand, fellas. Raise your hand. You can drop your hands. How many of you ladies would say tonight, preacher, I've been selfish long enough. I've wanted my way long enough. It's been I and me and mine long enough. Tonight, December 13, 2018, I, from this moment forward, will plan to be a friend wife. My husband will have a friend friend, a friend wife. Tonight I make that vow. Raise your hand, wives. You can put your hands down. I'm talking to teenagers here tonight. Listen carefully. Every teenager here, listen to me. I'm asking you tonight to make a promise to God that you're going to be a friend son or a friend daughter to your mom and dad. It's time. No, I didn't say you're going to hope they'll be your friend. No, I said you're going to be their friend. How many teenagers and boys and girls in this room tonight would say on this December 13, 2080, my mom and dad are getting a friend son or a friend daughter. I make that vow tonight. I'll be a friend son or a friend daughter. Raise your hand, would you please? Teenagers, boys and girls, come on, way up high, way up high, way up high. Put your hands down. I'm talking to children now, folks, unmarried people live in the same house with your mom and dad. If you'd say, I am, from this moment forward, peace to be made between my sister and my brother and me. A peace treaty, a truce, because tonight, December 13, 2080, I am becoming a friend sister or a friend brother. My sister's going to have a friend. My brother's going to have a friend. Tonight I make that vow. Would you raise your hand, please? Would you keep it up? You can put your hands down. One last thing. How many of you would say, preacher, as a mother or father, I'm going to become a friend mother, a friend father, a friend parent, not just somebody to provide for the family, not just somebody to keep the house and cook the meals, but my children are going to have a friend. Starting this December 13, 2080, I hereby make a pledge to God. I'm becoming a friend mother or a friend father. Would you raise your hand, please? Would you keep it up? You can put it down. Our Heavenly Father, I long for peace to reign in our homes, in our schoolrooms, our Sunday school classes.